The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
It's a Wales through a goal, slots it beyond Fotheringham, and the Millers are in front in the South Yorkshire derby. Oh. And for the first time in 42 years, Rotherham United win at Bramall Lane.
On the edge of the box, the Duffy, he can hit them, and he does.
Oh! No! Have secured their championship status for next season.
Do me a favour, drop me off in Rotherham.
Hello everybody, welcome back to New York Talk. This is the Rotherham United podcast. That's another game ticked off. Only three more games left. Only three more weekends that Rotherham United can ruin your weekend for you. And will. And then we can get some summer sun or rain, whatever's in store for us in the summer. We will talk about the Swansea game and anything else we can find that is even tenuously Rotherham United related, because we're not going to get an hour out of that game. We are not going to get an hour out of that Swansea game. We'll see where we go. Mick, back where you should be in the lovely town of Rotherham. How are you?
I'm back in God's country, mate, and I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
Yes, very, very good. And Danny's back. How are you doing, Danny?
I'm good, thank you. I'm happier now that you've said it's only three more games. Thank the Lord for that, because I just want this season to be done, sorted, and however reluctantly we look at it, bring on the Euros. Hopefully England win more games than Rotherham have this season.
It's not hard, is it, to be fair?
No. Four games out of how many have we played?
43.
Four wins out of 40. Good grief. It's worse than 2016, lads. It's worse than 16-17. We had five wins that season.
This would be, if we don't win any more games, this will be a club record of lowest amount of wins. Ignoring the season got cancelled because of the war. But only seven games in, I think. I think this will be a club record of low wins. But we might win one, and it'll be a club record equaling season.
Well, I'm sure we'll get onto the Swansea game in a minute, but I don't think any of us want us to beat Birmingham, because it means Wednesday might get relegated.
Yeah.
We won't beat Bristol City, because it's Bristol City away. And then the last game of the season is Cardiff. And
when it'll rain.
Yeah, when it'll rain, it'll get cancelled. Yeah. And then we won't beat them anyway, because we tend not to beat Cardiff on the last game of a season.
Yeah, at least they can't break us heart this time.
Yeah, true.
Was that? Anyway, who's with us? We have loads with us. Martin Holland, YouTube user, Michael Carnell, Chris Page is listening because he's watching the vote of the GP. Aaron and Paul Rhodes are with us, as is Kelly for Bob, Power Mad, Darren Clark. There's loads with us tonight. Thank you, everybody, who is saying hello in the comments. I've missed some of you out of the country as well. Gumbo says, hurry up and get me back to Henley to watch the cricket. Yeah, we can do that. A defeat against Swansea, 1-0 defeat. Not quite, I wouldn't say gut-wrenching, Mick, because, again, there was no way in a million years we were going to win that game based on the way we performed. But at the same time, it's a really, really unlucky defeat. That own goal is just as hilarious as it is harsh.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, let's be fair. They wouldn't have scored if we were still playing now, had we not scored for them. True. And as bad as we've been all season, one of the most disappointing parts about it is that there are teams, many teams within this division that are as bad as Swansea. And we're not even laying a glove on them. And it's so, so frustrating because they were awful. They were absolutely awful. And we just never looked like causing them a problem, really. Disappointing. Really, really disappointing to go out with the whimper that we've gone out with when there are teams that are that bad in this division. It makes it even more difficult to take, to be honest. But yeah, I suppose that was, again, another little encapsulation of the whole season, weren't it?
It was. Yeah, it were. And it's a shame, Danny, that happened for two reasons. It's a shame it happened to Renan Moat. Obviously, there's the Cardiff link, which is even worse for him. And he's been one of our more consistent performers. If somebody deserved an own goal, it's not kind of a thing you kind of deserve, but if there's somebody that didn't deserve to have an own goal, Renan Moat is quite high on the list. Something that didn't deserve it. I thought it was solid again. It was pretty solid again.
Yeah, take away the own goal. He was one of the very few solid performers. One of the few players who seems to actually care in the Rotherham squads, I think. But that, I suppose that's a little bit of a curse as well, because I'd argue that the three players who were some that actually give to about the team actually had one of the worst games. Like, Adolphin seemed off form again. Humphreys got caught out far too many times and it nearly led to a goal for Swansea, but thankfully Victor was in the way. And then with Riminota in the middle, yeah, he was all right when Rotherham actually had the ball, but it's an absolute calamitous own goal. And I know Richardson said that, you know, he won't hold it against him or anything, but Riminota held it against himself.
Yeah.
You always hold an own goal against yourself when you score one. But I suppose it was one in the comments might answer this, but I don't think we've scored many own goals this season, have we?
None that I can think of off my head.
It must be only like two or three. I think Humphreys has scored one.
Does ring a bell.
Yeah, it must be two or three own goals, which I suppose is actually quite good for a defence, but at the same time, you could say that teams have played through us far too easily as well. And we've not had a cohesive defence, but you know, stats speak for itself that we've not had that, done it.
We aren't had a defence, let's be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, we aren't. No. It's interesting, the last couple of games, obviously, the West Brom game, we realistically conceded one goal. And against Swansea, we basically didn't concede any goals because it was one goal. We look better with Peltz. I think whenever Peltz comes in, he's always put on left-hand side or right-hand side or whatever. When he's played in the centre the last two games, I thought we've looked much better defensively. And it seems odd that he's maybe not been there when he's been available, that he's not been there a bit more, because we have looked better. And I know it's supposed to be rubbish, and I know, you know, this, that, and the other, but Peltz has looked better centrally, because he doesn't get caught out as much, does he? Does he, with central? There's no hoodie thing, isn't it? You don't get caught out as much. He seems to be able to marshal Hacks and Humphreys a little bit better.
Yeah, he does. He does, and he is better there without a doubt. But, you know, we've had injuries in other parts of the defence that have meant that he's had to play elsewhere, haven't we? So, I mean, they weren't bad, reasonably solid defensively yesterday. Like Danny said, a couple of mistakes, but you're going to get that in a game anyway, no matter who's playing in there. So, they never looked like scoring, did they? They really didn't. They had that one opportunity, I think, that Victor saved. Was it Cullen, I think? I'm not sure. Yeah. But other than that, like I said, if we were still playing now, they wouldn't have scored. So, yeah. What can you say, really? The issue is we didn't have anything going forward. I think we waited while the last 5 minutes or so before we started putting balls in box, and lo and behold, we caused some problems immediately. I mean, I don't know whether that's something worth looking at, you know, as an option to put a ball in a dangerous area, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe we should consider it.
Maybe should, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Danny, we were so lacklustre going forward. We were so, so lacklustre. I can't think of a better word. I'm feeling sorry for Nombe, because I don't know what I don't know what he's been asked to do, but whatever he's been asked to do is clearly not his whatever he can do, because he's just looked so isolated. Cafu is not helping. And Rathbone, again, that's not really... It looks like Rathbone's been asked to support, which, again, is not really what Rathbone does. He just looks rubbish, and it is absolutely boring to watch from our point of view.
Yeah, it is. I agree. I mean, thankfully, I went out with... We had one briefly earlier this season when we first signed Nombe, my friend Jed, who was a massive Exeter fan, and went out for a few drinks, and he was ripping the absolute pennies out of me and just going, oh, you're a fan of the team that doesn't even play Nombe correctly, and you spent £1 million on him. And I said to him, all right, how do we play Nombe correctly? Because can he play up top on his own? And he went, no. He needs to be played in the wider areas. He can't be a lone centre forward. He needs to be wider. He's a runner. He runs onto a ball. He doesn't hold it up.
Mm.
And it's like, well, there you go. But who's the second striker to hold up the ball for Nombe to run to it? Is it Hugel? No, we've not seen enough of that from Hugel this season, because he ends up on the floor instead of holding the ball up. And he's injured now. So that's gone. I think Wyke is a weird combination of Hugel, quote-unquote, strength-wise, but also he's a runner. He doesn't naturally hold up the ball. So we've got no one to benefit Nombe. And as Jed said to me, we've seen Nombe play far more than I have. He's the runner. He's not the run into the box and get his head on it type of player. That would be Wyke, Eves, or Hugel, who we don't start. So yeah. Lord knows why we've got Nombe up top on his own, because it's not beneficial to how he plays football. But then we've not seen Nombe play the football, presumably Matt Taylor signed him for, because we've just not deployed him correctly. And it's another time we've not deployed him correctly because he's up top on his own. Mm. But then Charlie Wyke hasn't been good enough to play up top on his own since he's come in. Like, no disrespect to him, it's a confidence thing. And it's just so irritating that we can't play our highest ever fee paid for player correctly. Maybe we get to play him correctly next season, I don't know, but it's another poor performance from Sam Nombe. You'd think even if we play him incorrectly, he'd find a little pocket of space and get a shot away on target. But the stats from I follow say we had 4 shots overall and 0 on target. That's shocking.
It's not
the first time we've said it this season either. I don't think it's a reflection on Nombe. It's just that he's in the firing line because he's the starting striker. Mm. It's a more damning reflection on our strike force as a whole, I think. Because I've not got the numbers in front of me, but I imagine we've got the lowest number of goals scored in the division.
I would be amazed. You have somebody scored less goals than us.
I think
they've come down with us.
I think off the top of my head, we've scored 33 or 34, something like that. And I think Wednesday have scored 36, I think.
I wouldn't put a lot of stall on the iFollow stats, Danny, if I were you, because in the first half, we had 1 attempt on goal and 3 on target. So I shouldn't put too much
credit.
We've got 32 goals scored. Next is Wednesday with 36.
Ooh, I was nearly bang on. I'm quite impressed with that.
But the bear in mind, it's not playing until October. So
yeah. I think Nombe playing poorly, I think he's down to him not being deployed correctly, but also I don't think he's approached it in the right way. I don't think he's embraced it in the sense of, all right, I'm going to prove people wrong and show what I'm actually about. I think he's sort of like on the fence between not putting in enough effort and trying for the team. He's sort of like 50-50, I think. And I think if he's deployed in the correct way, he will play for the team. But at the minute, we've said it before and I'll say it again, this isn't a team. It's just a collection of players in a Rotherham shirt. It's not a team.
No, it's not. But depending on me a bit, I think he is putting the effort in. I think he is running around. I just think he looks lost. I think this season was meant to be a season where he was helped through it, through the likes of Hugel, through the likes of Eves, through maybe even Kelly, because Kelly's got a bit more experience. It was all semi-pro in Ireland, but he's played a long time in Ireland. I think he's just been Matt Taylor didn't fancy him, which was weird. So you've come in for £1 million, you're thinking, Matt, I'm gonna come here, we're gonna play a lot of games, and it's gonna be hard, it's gonna be relegation battle, blah blah blah. Matt Taylor didn't play him at all. You think he got one start under Matt Taylor, something like that. Wayne Carlisle came in and then started playing him when he was very, very good. I can't remember what the formation was, but he was very, very good under Wayne Carlisle. Started pretty well under Liam Richardson. And then Liam Richardson's gone back into his shell, Nick, in terms of tactics. So that's what's not helping. We're playing four central midfielders against Swansea. I know they like to pass not ball, but I know, I get it. That's fine, I understand. But four's too many. And it's just killing Nombe. And look, to use a Liam Richardson phrase, he's making himself available, which is you know, the other players obviously aren't making themselves available.
Yeah.
And he is running and he is working hard. For me, I just feel so, so sorry for Nombe. This season should have been a shining light, potentially a shining light of his career. And it's not all his fault, the way he's been playing, the way he's having to play, I think.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination, I agree with you. He's had no service. He's been played as a lone striker far too often. I mean, he's still winning. He's winning balls. He's winning headers against defenders who are a lot bigger than him. But there's nobody there to back him up either. You know, so there's nobody there to win the second ball when he's winning a header or competing for a header. So, you know, when he gets the ball out wide in the channels, it looks dangerous. But he's having to cross the ball to himself. You know, it's just, yeah, I don't think he's had a bad season. I just don't think he's had a season. I don't think he's been given an opportunity, both in terms of starts, but when he has started, he's not been given any support. So I don't think you can write him off by any stretch of imagination. No. I think if we can get some players in and around him, hopefully we'll be able to do that next season. Then I think we'll see a different player altogether. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't think he had a bad game yesterday. I just don't think he got any help whatsoever. Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens next season. That's all we can do with Sam Nombe. He's a Rotherham United player for another two seasons, at least, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, if Liam Richardson can get some players in who want to play for the club, some more players in who want to play for the club, and bring back that culture that Paul Warne had around it, that's been ripped out of it, then hopefully we'll see the best of him. Who knows?
I really hope Richardson plays with wingers or plays Nombe as more of a 10 with the centre forward in front of him. Or wide with them in a front three, but just because it'd benefit him so much more. And I agree with you, Mick. He just doesn't get any help whatsoever. He's just been told to do a job, but it's not his natural job.
But at least he's trying to do the job. You know, he's not doing a Hugo where he's just falling down every 5 minutes and not really trying to do the job. He is trying to do it. He just can't.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Norman says, Nombe clearly wants to play, just being let down. Near the coverage says, we have zero attacking quality in this squad. It's so imbalanced, you can't put much blame on any of the strikers. No. I also don't think it helps, Danny, that whenever we've seen Eves and Nombe together, although individually they've had good moments, they don't seem to work very well together. They don't seem to complement each other very well, and which I think, again, is restricting Liam Richardson by just going, right, let's bung two up top. It seems to really work, those two together so far.
No, I don't think so. I think, as daft as it sounds, I think the better combo we've seen so far has actually been Nombe and Wyke.
I agree.
Even though Wyke hasn't hit the ground running at all. But I'd say that's been the better two. I mean, we're writing off Hugo for the last three games, aren't we? I don't think we'll see him in a Rotherham shirt again this season. Maybe not next season. But we'll see what happens over the summer with that one. But Nombe and Wyke works the best out of all the combinations. I'm not saying it's the solving combination, but it works the best out of all of them. But again, Richardson's gone for the one up top approach, maybe to beef out midfield a little bit more. But then it's like there's three games left, we're already down. Why not just put them both on? Yeah. And just let it be free. Try and play the tactics that he played at Wigan in League One or even in the Championship and just try and get a vibe for the players he wants to try and keep. Because it's effectively an extended pre-season for us now.
Yeah. But this is extended pre-season with players that are not going to be here.
Well, it depends. Like with the players like Riminota, Klukas, Numbale definitely be here.
Yeah.
Adolphin, Rathbone potentially if we take the extension. Bramall potentially. You have to get a feel of it, of the players that he'll try his hardest to try and keep and the ones that he's less inclined to try and keep.
Which is the creativity in midfield ended with when Borough robbed us of the only class we had. Only attacking threat, I suppose. But what can you do? You know, we said at the time we're not going to buy another Dan Barlaster, are we? I did enjoy Sam Klukas getting booed every 5 minutes. And also, he seemed to really play up to it as well, Mick. I really enjoyed that. He gave it bigger than their fans. And I know it didn't quite work out because he came off injured. But there's something about Klukas that I don't think he's impacting the games at the minute particularly. I don't think that's massively his fault. But there's just something about him as a as an individual that I really do like. And he's, I don't know, could you see him staying next season? Would you want to keep him? I assume you would.
Yeah, 100% I'd want to keep him. It's a kind of player, a kind of personality that you want around your squad. You know, he's obviously got well-documented close bond with Liam Richardson anyway because of his start in football. So, I'd love to keep him. And I don't think we enjoyed him getting booed anywhere near as much as he enjoyed getting booed. He seemed to thrive off it. He seemed to enjoy that. I'd 100% I'd like to keep him. Like you say, he's not impacting games at the moment. He had a decent game yesterday, but I think he obviously took a knock on his knee at some stage, and then he obviously ended up coming off as a result of that injury. So maybe that's why he didn't impact the game as much as much as he would have liked to. We'll have to wait and see whether we can negotiate a deal. He said he's open to some discussions. So, you know, he's 33 now, I think.
33 now, yeah.
So with the greatest respect to him, he's at the tail end of his career rather than the start of it. Whether he's going to get a championship berth next year, I don't know. I don't know. Or whether he'll want to see his career out with somebody he knows as a manager. You know, not have to start all over again with a new manager and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I would absolutely keep him, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Power says, I don't think against Klukas, but I'd much rather have a younger, fitter midfielder. I think he works into that. I think if you get runners in and around him, and Tihi, don't forget Tihi as well. I think Klukas strikes me as the kind of guy that'd be great to have in a new dressing room.
Yeah,
to bring the young players to. He's been there and done it a couple of times, hasn't he? So I think that helps a lot. Aaron says, reckon with Victor will stay or go. Didn't he mention he's happy to stay? If you want my money is that the Cardiff game, assuming he's still here for the Cardiff game, you know, which I think he will be, baby, assuming. That will be the last time we see him in a Rotherham shirt. I think the chance of him stopping here is there's more chance of me starting first game of next season than Victor starting it the first game of next season. Danny, what chance do you give it? We'd all love it, obviously, but.
Yeah, we'd love Victor to stay in, you know, the whole thing of one more year. Well, you know, I think we'd be over the moon if he agreed to that, or even sign on a contract so we get him for a year and then we sell up as one of the best keepers in League One. However, with the baby that's on the way and the fact that he's been our best player head and shoulders, potentially head, shoulders, knees and toes above the rest of the players, I'd say it's time for Victor to move on to better things. Unless he wants to drag this club to better things in League One next season and leave us the cemented legendary goalkeeper of Rotherham United, I'd love it. Don't get me wrong, I'd love it for him to stay. But I think the chances of him staying for another season are near enough zero. It's not exactly zero, because there's always a chance, but it's near zero, I think.
That's what I say about my chances of starting the first game next season. It's not zero. It's near zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he wants to go somewhere bigger and better, you know, a big European club, and they just want to loan him back for a season, we can do that. I'm sure, you know, that we'd all be happy with that, Mick.
Yeah.
But from a club point of view, let's take our fan hat off for a minute and pretend we work for the club. We should be selling him this summer. I know the rumour's only £1 million, but you've got to be cashing in on these people. For me, from a business point of view, from a football club point of view, you've got to cash in and use that money.
So what happens from a club point of view is you sell him this year for the whatever the alleged sell on clause is, let's call it £1 million for the sake of argument, and then you get pelters for only £1 million, or you keep him for another year and he goes for free, and then you get pelters for not selling him for £1 million. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't think the club is the issue in this discussion, to be honest with you. You have to be concerned, looking at it from the outside, what damage this season has done to Victor's reputation. You know, he's conceded however many 80-odd goals. Mm. Probably three of them are his fault. But that's not what that doesn't say on the league table, does it?
Yeah.
So, you know, as a result of poor performances, poor results this season, his stock has gone down significantly. But he's got to think of his career. You know, he's got a fledgling international career at the moment. He's not been started, but he's the youngest of the goalkeepers on the Swedish, the sort of three or four that get picked regularly now. So his international career, you know, he's kind of on that ladder, and maybe next man up almost. Playing in League One in the UK is not going to help him get that number one jersey, that number one Sweden jersey. So in terms of his career, I can't see why he would stay. You know, if he wants to progress his career, which clearly he does.
Yeah.
So much as I would give anything for him to stay. Absolutely. I want him to see his career out at this football club, you know, because of the kind of servant that he is and already has been for this football club. But put that to one side, because he's got to think of him, his family and everything else. As you point out, he's going to be a dad soon. You know, he's got to secure a future for his partner and his child. So he needs to go on to bigger and better things, absolutely. Where that is, whether that be in the UK or in Europe, we'll have to wait and see. But I don't see him after Cardiff pulling on that Rotherham United shirt again in the foreseeable future. Do you know what? I don't hope I'm wrong. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I want him to move. Mm. I genuinely do. I want him to move for him. Yeah. I don't want rid of him, obviously.
How many times have you ever said that watching Rotherham United? How many times have you said I want him to move for his
career? I've said it a few times about a number of players. God, I wish he'd leave. but yeah, I mean, he has to play at the top level. He has to.
Yeah. Mike Miller says Victor's stock will not have gone down significantly within the football industry. I was having a conversation with somebody else about from a fan of another club, trying to justify why Victor's an amazing goalkeeper. And all they do is reel off loads of stats from this season, and you've got no comeback against them because all the stats look terrible. They make Victor look terrible. Now, we know with our eyes that that's not the case, but every single sport nowadays is a stat-based sport. Everything is stats about everything. Now, football's maybe one of the least, but it's still heavily stats-based. You know, if you can look at a list of goalkeepers, or just purely based on their stats, and then decide who you're going to scout, well, Victor's not necessarily going to be at the top of the list because our stats as a club are terrible.
It depends. It depends how deep you go into those stats. And like Mike's absolutely right to a degree. You know, the people who make the decisions within football don't just look at how many goals have been conceded. You know, there's a lot more stats that go with it as well, over and above just your sort of what you can see with your own eyes. Mm. So I think it will have gone down, his stock, on the face of it. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll find out, won't we, when we get the set amount for him.
Do we need an emergency podcast when he leaves?
Well, I don't know. I think a black armband.
Couple of things that we want to mention, as been tweeted a few times today, it's 28 years ago today that Rotherham won the first time at Wembley in the Autumn Windscreen Shield. If you want to go and hear about that, I recommend you go and listen to our podcast we did with Trevor Berry, Neil Richardson, and Andy Roscoe. Must be 2 or 3 years ago now. Well, 3 years ago, it was the 25th anniversary we did it for.
Yeah.
It's like 3 hours, two hours we did make. But it's so good. Go back and listen. It took the run up to the final itself. I'll find the links and tweet them out later. But that was one of my favourite episodes we did, Mick, talking to those three.
It was great. It was great. Three absolute gems. They were fantastic. And when they even after all these years, still bouncing off each other like they'd never been apart, kind of thing. Really, really good. Really good.
Yeah, that's one for Kev's Legends tonight for the 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
That's a great show.
Make memories of the day, just 28 years ago. Go on, just run us down the day a little bit, because we've got a lot to talk about this season in particular.
Okay, well, I mean, but given that you're asking me that now, given that you know that I don't know what I had for breakfast this morning, it was a fantastic day, an absolutely fantastic day. The old Wembley, fantastic it was. Great atmosphere. I'm not sure how many we took. It was a lot. It was a hell of a lot, because there were a lot of our cousins from Sheffield United there as well, bolstering the numbers for us. To win at Wembley on your first visit there, you know, it's one of those. And I think it was four of us who were there that day were in that during that podcast, the three players and myself, because obviously you weren't there. You think, well, we shouldn't be here. This is not our. What are we doing here? What are we doing in this place? And then to go and win it as well was fantastic. And the only Wembley trip that I've missed with Rodney United was a Dagenham game. So. Yeah. There you go. I've 100% record at Wembley, and I intend maintaining that.
But you're never going again.
I'm not going again.
Mike Connell says there were 26,000. Mike Connell says with 11,000 Shrewsbury fans. Richard says,
don't forget that at that point in time, we were getting 2,500, 3,000 through gates at Millmore. You know. So to be able to go to the National Stadium and see whatever it is, 15, 16, 17,000 waving red and white flags supporting my team was just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing, because I'd never watched Rotherham, except when we'd gone to Swillsborough or wherever, you know, in front of more than maybe 4,000 or 5,000, maybe 7,000 or 8,000 if we had a massive game down at Millmore. So yeah, our times have changed.
Rich says, me and my wife were there at Wembley in 96. She was 4 months pregnant. Like it, like these stories from Wembley. Let's move back to sort of present day, sadly. Scott Kent sends a question on Twitter. He asked, if there's any players you like us to bring in if we can, what positions do we need to be filling in? He mentions Macaulay Langstaff, who's got 26 goals. I think he's in League One this season. What's priority number one, Danny? We need 15 up or so players. What is priority number one? It is all, you know, what area is priority number one?
I'd say best case scenario, and that's just releasing the players that are at the end of the 1 year contract, so we don't want to keep. I'd say number one priority would be to add some wide depth to us, because we seem to lack the ability to play out wide and get balls into the box, which funnily enough works when we actually do it this season. But we've got very little creativity out wide, and we don't really have the pace to get it out there and be defensively sound at the same time. Bramwell's shown it a little bit, but he's not the same since he's come back from injury. Might be different at the start of next season, but we'll wait and see. So I'd say a wide right player who can get balls into the box and give us a bit of pace going forward, who isn't a wing back. Because I think it's safe to say that Kiyoso won't be here either, I don't think. But we'll have to wait and see what Mr. McAntony does. But yeah, so I'd say first priority wide players gives us a different approach to games rather than just going through the middle. But then you need to support that with a midfielder, because we seem to be a bit lost in midfield. There seems to be very little cohesive play there. So I'd say wide players first. And then, like, can we say, like, first 0.5, which is like the next one up that isn't quite second priority, would be a creative midfielder or a new midfielder pairing, I think.
What, Ben Wiles type or a Barlasser type?
I would say a Barlasser type. I mean, we're never going to get a player in the same in the same universe as Barlasser, really. But someone with that bit more creative guile about them, as close to what Paul Wong called a quarterback, as
foot on the ball kind of midfielder.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The sort of player we thought Cafu was going to be until we saw him actually play football. so yeah, so wingers first, and then a more creative based midfielder. And that's best case scenario. So that best case is that's Victor staying. If Victor does go, then first priority becomes a new goalkeeper who can keep us fairly competitive in League One.
I think, I'm not sure, because it's going to be a loany, isn't it? Sorry. If we, when Victor goes, the chance, you're not going to be able to get a permanent goalkeeper that's anywhere near the level Victor is, anywhere near the level.
No. So you won't get
a Rodak type, Iverson type.
I suppose it depends on what the approach is going to be. If it's going to be a short-term fix, then yeah, probably Premier League youth keeper loan. But if Richardson has a sight beyond next season, he'll maybe try and recruit a goalkeeper with room for development and develop him like we developed Victor. You know, because we've had nearly four good seasons out of Victor, what one of which he was cover for Jamal Blackman, and he sort of came into his own a little bit. So I'd like to see something like that again, because, you know, it strikes me that short-term goalkeepers aren't the ideal fix for where the club needs to be. It needs to be players on longer term where we can develop them and get the squad moving up again as a proper unit, rather than just going, oh, he's quite a good youth keeper, we'll stick him in for this season, but then we'll lose him next season, so we have to do it all again.
Yeah, look at Rodak. Rodak were essentially a two-year loan. Iverson obviously only came for one season, but did get us promoted.
But we've had Victor for four.
Well, exactly, but before Victor, we had 3 years worth of loans. And before that, what did we have before Rodak?
It were O'Donnell, I think, and he was like 18 months permanent, I think.
Yeah, that weren't a great move, sadly, for O'Donnell. Lewis Price as well. Lewis Price was there as well. Again, I didn't quite. He was a second choice keeper, as I think Phillips is. A few people mentioned Vickers back. That's dependent on a couple of things, isn't it? I think Vickers is happy where he is with the coaching staff that he's got, with the people he likes to be around. You got to bear in mind his circumstances as well. He needs to be stable where he is at the minute. We obviously lost his wife earlier this season. He's got a family to think of. I suspect he'll want stability rather than anything else at the minute. Don't know.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Mick, priority number one, is it the goalkeeper? Assuming Victor leaves, somebody's put Gumbos a striker. What's priority number one?
Well, we're going to have to replace. We need a goalkeeper. Josh Vickers is my man every day of every week. You know, Derby are looking like they're going to get promoted anyway.
Yeah.
Whether they stick with Warnie or not, they stick with Warnie, then Vickers might get some championship time, so he'll not leave. If they don't stick with Warnie, I don't think he will.
Big time.
Yeah, so he may well be open to a return, but it would be first name on my list. I'd be tapping him up straight away. The rest of it, I'm going to leave to Liam Richardson. It depends what he wants, where he wants to strengthen, who he's going to keep, etc., etc. So at this point of the season, we're not even finished the season yet. So, you know, at this point, I don't know the answer to any of those questions because we don't know who's going to be staying, who's going to be going, who's going to sign a new contract, who's not. You know, we don't know where the vacancies are. So I think that's a discussion for the long summer months of long football free summer months.
Oh, not football free.
Football people with.
Yeah, I look forward to the summer. Rotherham can't ruin it, which would be nice.
England probably will.
And yeah. We finally get to appease the fans who want us to sign us 25 players in a summer window as well.
Yeah.
We might have
back to. That's the old days of Steve Evans, wasn't it? We'll sign everybody on 3 month loan contracts and sack them off after a month.
Is that even a thing anymore? Can you do that? Or is it purely window to window?
Yeah, window to window. That's what Steve has built his success on at Rotherham United, is his ability to keep getting players in for a very short period of time. You know, Frecht was able to keep for a longer period. But you look, Tom Lawrence was on a short-term loan. That guy from Norwich, that Varys Afo, he was on a very short-term loan. It worked very well for him. Very, very well for him. But there we go. Martin Holland says he would inquire about getting Revan back.
Yes, 100%.
Kenneth Bob says, very busy at the training ground. Yeah, let's touch on this, Danny. We're getting regular updates on the training ground from the groundsmen. Busy stuff down at Roundwood at the minute. I'm not going to pretend to know anything that it's putting, but it's brilliant now to see those updates and to kind of get that information and see what's happening, even if it's, like I say, coming from an individual rather than the club on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's a bit... I would have liked to have seen it through official channels, and I think everyone feels that like that. Just to give us like little updates about, oh, this is what's happening at the training ground. Like, I get it's Dave Beddoe's forte with everything, you know, and he wants to show off what's happening. But the fact that we've had no communication from the club other than stating it's happening, it's a bit. Just give us a little bit of something. You don't have to be daily updates like Dave's doing. But just a bit of a thing of, oh, today we're doing this, leave it a few days. It's rained, but we're back at it when the weather's all right. I just want to see something a bit more official rather than the grounds.
It's not you. Buying into this, Danny.
I'm a bit
with you, Danny. With you.
I'm perplexed.
Go on.
What's Dave Beddoe's title? What does he do?
Head groundsman.
Groundsman. I don't know. Rotherham United.
So he's employed by Rotherham United. He is essentially Rotherham United's expert on groundsman stuff.
On groundsman stuff? He's not the official one.
Whatever that is. You know, he is Rotherham United's resident expert on drainage,
grass, cutting grass, marking lines out, whatever it is, whatever else he does. And I know to a degree I'm belittling his job there, but I genuinely don't mean to.
I'll say, Geoff, Mick, I've worked in the groundsman before as well.
Yeah. But somebody who everybody knows is employed by the club, passing on information about work that the club is doing for the benefit of the club. And we would prefer it to come from Sam Todd, who's the media guy. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, the point is that his reach on Twitter, which we should say is Fellows, not Beddoes. Thank you, Ryan.
My apologies.
His reach.
There's too many Daves.
That's a great look, that, Matt, by the way.
Is it frozen?
Yeah, you did froze, yeah.
Yeah, frozen. His reach on Twitter is nowhere near what the club is. The club has got 20,000 followers, more than that. So that it just gets out to the fans. It gets out to more fans, is what I'm trying to say.
It seems to have got out to enough fans for him to moan about who it's coming from.
For me, it's a very small and easy win. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
In the world of social media, you want the most attention going to it possible. And like I said, no disrespect to Dave, but he seems to be a very private guy on Twitter, other than showing off what his exceptional work that he's done, like award-winning pictures at New York Stadium and bits and pieces at the training ground. But like Matt says, if the club wants just a little win on social media when week after week it's fans having a go at
they're
the team
put
and
crap,
moaning.
Aren't they?
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Deal with the responses. It's a little bit of...
A small win is to post some pictures about what's happening and even interview Dave Fellows, thank you to the comments, about what work's happening. It doesn't have to be a video interview. It can just be asking him some questions about what it is and what it improves. Just that little sprinkling of positive news when the club has no other positive news whatsoever. Mm. Just a little social media sprinkling. Let Dave do the daily updates, but just a little sprinkling just to give us an idea of what's happening to people who have no idea about what work is actually happening.
But it's good, most importantly. Mm-hmm. It's great that the work is being done, basically.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the point.
It is absolutely the point. Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I started with that.
Mick. I think you probably did, actually. Yeah.
Let's talk about opponents for next season, Mick. The list of guaranteed opponents is growing as by the week. I'll give you the list. You've got Reading, Charlton, Bristol Rovers, Wickham, Wigan, Exeter, Northampton, Leighton Orient, and two promotions at the weekend in Stockport and Wrexham. I don't know why, but I'm excited for Stockport. I like Stockport. I'm looking forward to playing. They're a team we used to play all the time when I was a kid, I suppose. So Mansfield are looking very likely to join them as an automatic as well, which, again, a team we haven't played in forever, which I'm looking forward to. Any standouts, Mick? I assume Wrexham, because you've got a house near that you can stop.
I think Wrexham are going to become one of those clubs that everybody wants rid of, aren't they? Just get them out, wherever it is that they go in, let them get off there and stop being a bother to everybody else. It seems that they've managed to generate a set of supporters that most clubs wouldn't want in terms of their behaviour, which is understandable. It's understandable given the hype around them. We'll have to wait and see how they perform over the close season in terms of finances. I don't think that they're going to start throwing money about right, left and centre like some have in the past, although they will have a decent amount of spending power when they come up. So we'll have to see how that pans out with Wrexham. Stockport are a bit of a worry, aren't they? They're on the way up a little bit at the moment. But League One is a real... it's a real difficult proving ground for clubs coming out and getting promoted. Traditionally, it's not that straightforward. There's only the odd one or two that can go straight through in one season. what worries me more is who's going to come down with us. That's a big worry for me. There are two clubs that I absolutely do not want with us in this division. And unfortunately, given our opponents on Saturday, we're going to have a say in how that works, because if we lose to Birmingham, it puts, and the results don't go right, it puts Wednesday back in trouble. If we beat Birmingham, it puts Birmingham back in trouble and relieves a bit of pressure on Wednesday. I don't want either of those clubs with us in League One next season, particularly, probably more so Birmingham. I'm sure John will be pleased to hear that, but I genuinely don't want Birmingham in League One.
The fans they will have in League One will be frightening.
Absolutely. Yeah, they shouldn't be in League One anyway. They're too big a club to be in League One. And I shouldn't be saying that because nobody's too big. But you know what I mean? Given the what's going on in the background in Birmingham, at Birmingham City, you know, you might as well just give them the title, frankly. I don't want Birmingham down, and I don't want our noisy neighbours with us.
Who do you want down then?
I'll take Huddersfield, I'll take Plymouth, I'll take whoever else is down there. Stoke.
Stoke have got more money than Birmingham.
They might have, but if they were going to spend it wisely, they'd have spent it wisely this season. Birmingham have only just got that sort of, you know, they've not got the wrapper off their new owners yet, have they? Completely. So, any of them apart from those two, to be honest.
Just on Wrexham, they spend almost on Championship wage. I don't think they're spending millions of pounds, but their wages they can offer are significant.
Yeah.
The agent fees were announced last week, and they spent almost as much on agent fees as we did. I think it was about 50,000 less, something like that. So the money they're spending is not on the pretty side of things, the transfer fees. It's on the background stuff.
Yeah.
Where is the clever way of spending it? On wages and agent fees, actually the clever way of spending it to help you build a little bit. Craig says, can't wait for League One, lads. It's exciting. Let's get some business done early and the retain list done. I'm looking forward to it, Danny. And I'm just with those teams out, and there'll be a few more confirmed.
As well.
It's good. There's some great away days, some really local away days in there as well. It's shaping up to be a really, really competitive League One next year. Really competitive.
Yeah, my new job's not going to like me because I'm booking every Saturday off. but yeah, I mean, the teams that are confirmed, I mean, there's only 12 to 11, like about 10-ish teams confirmed so far.
10, yeah.
And they still look all right, you know, and there's a lot of new grounds for me. Like, I've not done Northampton before, I've not done Exeter. That'll be a great away day. Due to my connection with Exeter. Then Stockport, not done, but like I say, team on the rise, will be really, really competitive. Wrexham, I've not done. It's nice to have them back. All right, the famous owners make it a bit more of a sky inclined game, shall we say.
Yeah, talk about that
in a minute. So, what, Friday night away game to Wrexham? That'll be fun. But yeah, it's shaping up to be a really fun league, I think is the best way to put it. But I agree with Mitt, I don't want Birmingham in League One. I would take Huddersfield and Plymouth personally. But if Birmingham are in League One, one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to win the league or there's going to be an absolute calamity and they'll finish outside the playoffs.
12th.
Yeah. But then again, I could say the same for us. We're either going to finish outside the playoffs or we'll win the league by probably 5 points. That's my early prediction. They're the two routes it'll take. We'll either finish 7th or 1st by 5 points.
Fair enough. Donny may be there. David Carroll, the Doncaster on the run of all runs at the minute.
Barnsley might stay down as well.
Well, you've got Stockport, I think, will be at the right end of the table. Wrexham will be in the right end of the table. Wigan will be at the right end of the table, probably. Charlton will be at the right end of the table with the money they're spending. Reading will be back on, probably, hopefully for their sake, back on an even keel by the time the summer comes around. So they're going to be at the right end of the table. Barnsley or Bolton will still be in League One. So they'll be at the right end of the table. Blackpool will be at the right end of the table. There's going to be 12 to 14 teams, Mick, that are going to be thinking, right, playoffs this year. At least the playoffs for us this year. And that's what it was last time when we came up. Last time when we there was a lot of teams expecting playoffs. Peterborough as well might not go up. They might still be in expecting playoffs. It's going to be incredibly competitive.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be absolute fun, as it always is when we're down there. So
yeah,
far more fun than it is when we're up here.
Matt Miller says, can't wait for League One. He says he can. Trips to Stockport and Mansfield, oh joy. And Wrexham, last time we went there, we got smashed 7-0. Ignore that part. Oh, they're the best away days. I would take Mansfield and Stockport over Sunderland any day of the week. Any day of the week. Mm-hmm. These smaller grounds, the away days, are so, tend to be so fun.
That's definitely a difference between corporate football and quote-unquote proper football. Yeah. You know, I'd take your Wrexhams and your Stockports, and take your Exeters and such over your Sunderlands, Middlesbroughs, Coventries. Yeah, I'd take them over them any day at week. Even if Mansfield come up as well. I've never been to Field Mill, but it looks like a cracking ground to go to. Like one of them proper small grounds. It looks nice. So, same with it's a shame Scunthorpe aren't here anymore. But even though it looks like a bit of a sad bowl. It's still like a little small ground.
Atmosphere is amazing, though. When it gets to go, the atmosphere is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
So we haven't played Stockport since 2011. We haven't played Wrexham in 17 years. We haven't played Mansfield in 16 years. These are teams we haven't played in a long time as well, which for people like you, Danny, have never seen us play. So that's a lot of grounds to tick off for some newbies and a few ones.
So if the Cutlers want to sponsor my away day travels next season on the podcast, just let me know.
let's cover this off. Kelly says no I follow for next season. So the new Sky deal has been announced. So the headlines that will affect us are that every single weekend, five games from League One and League Two will be televised. So it's probably going to be three games from League One and two from League Two. That will be outside of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. So if we're going to be where we hope we're going to be, i.e. the top end of League One, we're going to see pretty significant disruption in terms of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. In terms of the iFollow in the UK will be binned off. So if we're live on a Tuesday night, you won't be able to watch it through iFollow. If you are not in the UK or your internet provider thinks you're not in the UK, then iFollow will still be available for you. if you're in Holland, you can still watch iFollow. That won't change. Obviously, if you're in the UK and you're trying to watch this on Tuesday night, Friday night, you obviously can't watch iFollow on Saturday 3 o'clock anyway. So for most people, I don't think you'll see any difference in terms of that side of things. It's just like, say, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights. One of the biggest things, well, there's three kind of headlines for me, Mick. Papa John's, no, Bristol Street Motors and the Carabao Cup for the first time ever will all be live on Sky, which I think is good because it's the Carabao Cup first and second have never been televised unless you're on Sky. So I think that's a step forward. What I think is not so good is that the first game of the season will all be televised, which means the first game of the season will not be a 3 o'clock kickoff for anybody in the Football League. They will have to be outside of the 3 o'clock kickoff, which for me is not a good thing.
First day of the season, 5:30 kickoff.
It could be a Friday night, midday, Saturday. It could be anything. And for me, that's a bad thing. I don't know.
It's nice to see Sky thinking about supporters again, isn't it? You know. They're always on our side, you can guarantee that. Listen, there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. We can whinge about it, but the EFL will take the money and run every single time. So, you know, it is what it is. We're just going to have to suck it up, unfortunately. And, you know, the fact that if you can't get to a game or you can't get to an away game, you can't watch it if you haven't got Sky. Yeah, it's wrong. It's not great at all, but I'm not surprised. It doesn't surprise me at all. And, you know, why would Sky think about the supporters anyway? You know, all they're interested in is subscriptions and they probably feel that this is going to benefit them in terms of getting more subscribers.
It stinks to me that this is ITV Digital, to be honest with you.
I think Sky are in their death throes at the moment in terms of being the number one provider of sport. They're losing the sort of the prime sports hand over fist now because they've overpaid in the past. and they've lost a load of income because they've overcharged their customers. So that I think eventually that they will just peter out into being another, just one of the many, rather than the main supplier of sport, if you like. So, you know, they'll make the profits while they can, and then they'll sit back on them, won't they? The people who take the money, and we'll just carry on paying.
Hey, you never know. If Wrexham establish themselves as a certified EFL club, we might see EFL live on Disney Plus.
We could, yeah. Well, because the EFL have managed to sell some rights to America for, again, significant money. That's supposedly a lot down to Wrexham's exposure in the States. So that is, ironically, is helping all of us. Hopefully, that's not affecting people.
Sky have already built their permanent studio in the at Wrexham, won't they? Already be there in racecourse ground, ready for next season. Because assuming that Leeds go up, they'll need a new darling, won't they? And obviously Wrexham will be able to fulfil that for Sky. So, whatever. I mean, it'd be funny if Leeds don't go up. I'd be interested to see financially what happens to them next season. That will be a laugh.
Would it be funnier if Leicester or Leeds didn't go up?
It'd be hilarious.
I think it'd be funny if Leicester didn't go up. Funnier if Leicester didn't go up. Just the 17 points clear, you know, the self-crowned kings of the championship, and then they don't go up. It'd be quiet.
Nah, it'd be funnier for Leeds because it's Leeds.
Fair enough. if you don't have Sky, again, this is from, we'll cover this maybe in August, but if you don't have Sky, you can buy that day passes to watch. You know, if you're not going to like one of the games, you can buy a pass to watch a Rotherham game. Through there, but don't blame me. Blame Sky, whoever owns Sky.
This new Sky deal, like now that they've got the whole shebang of everything, just screams that we need to get rid of the Saturday blackout.
They do. It's outdated, and you're gonna lose attendances by moving the kickoffs to Friday night, Monday night, Thursday night. If they were at 3 o'clock, you may lose some attendances, but not as much as what they're going to lose by moving the games. If you miss one game, you might think, well, I didn't go last game, so I'll not go next game. If you miss that game, then you're in a habit of not going again, and you're going to start losing long-term fans kind of that way, and it's going to become a TV show rather than an actual sport, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Parma says, I blame the FA. Look how fragmented the Premiership games are on TV. You need 3 different subscriptions to watch them all. Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Martin Abraham says, hi guys, hope you're well. He says his son Noah has a question for us. He thinks, do we think we're coming straight back up? That's a Wednesday fan. Danny, are we coming straight back up?
It all depends on recruitment and if Richardson can get a song out of him. If he does, then yes. However, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I actually don't want us to come straight back up.
Oh, don't be boring.
No, I've had enough of the yo-yoing in the championship. All right, fair enough, we've stayed up for a season, but I'd rather stay down in League One and build a proper cohesive team rather than going up, chopping and changing, coming down, chopping and changing, going back up again. I'd rather some stability, and we've just seen that stability is not our thing in the championship, is it?
No. I saw that. Get me at Mansfield last game of next season with 5,000 fans promoted with the Georgie Kelly-esque moment. let's do it again. Let's do all this again. The only thing I want to say is that this type of season should never happen again. And I want to hear that from the club as well. That this type of season will never happen again, because it shouldn't happen again so close after the last one. It should never happen again. This type of season should never happen again.
The fact it's happened twice in 10 years is terrifying.
Yeah, it's mad. It's not acceptable, is it? It's not good enough.
I don't think it's never as straightforward as that, is it? It's never as straightforward. No, it's not good enough. You're absolutely right. It's not good enough. But the football picture changes season on season in terms of the finances involved and where that money sits within the pyramid. And we're trying to be a sustainable football club, and eventually it will pay off for us. It will, because other clubs will go the same way that Reading and others have gone. It is only a matter of time. So I personally think that if Liam Richardson can get his recruitment right in the summer, I think we will come back up again. Mm. And like Mike said there, you know, there is no point in supporting your club if you don't want to get promoted. You know, I know, and I get where you're coming from, Danny. I fully understand what you're saying about trying to consolidate and get ourselves on an even keel. But the bottom line is, we need to be going for promotion and get ourselves on an even keel in this horrible division rather than the division below. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one, and for me, the key to what happens next season, over and above what we do in the close season, is who comes down with us. I genuinely believe that. And if it's Wednesday in Birmingham, I think we're going to be in trouble. If it's anybody else other than those two, I think we'll have a very, very good shout at it. Mm. Anyway, listen, it's time. It is time for Sheffield United to take responsibility. They're coming down. It's time for them to look after noisy neighbours. We've had them for 2 or 3 seasons. They need to take their turn now. Their responsibility. They need to look after Wednesday, not us. We've had enough seasons of it now.
Mm. Come and collect your friend is your problem now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, we're like two divorced parents arguing over a naughty child, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, Thomas says, no chance of Rotherham being promoted. Delusional thinking. The stranger things happen in football than Rotherham getting promoted. So...
But just to add my own answer to Mike's comment, there is every point in being a football fan, because success isn't measured by promotion and relegation every single season since 2016-17, bar one. So I'd much rather us have a very strong season but not get promoted but win the EFL trophy rather than keeping the yo-yo moniker. I'd rather is build a very decent squad that can be competitive in the Championship, but get promoted from League One and already have the building blocks in place to be competitive in the Championship without having to chop and change every single season.
The problem you've got is Peter were a perfect example of this. If you get stuck in League One, you can get stuck so badly, because if you bring in a player to try and build a squad, and let's say Nombe. If Nombe bangs in 30 goals next season, now I don't think any of us thinks he will get that many, but let's say he does, he has a Clark Harris type season, he's not going to be here for the season after if we don't get promoted. So then what are you going to do? Because you've then got to sell Nombe for, you'll get a lot of money, but then you're going to find the next Sam Nombe, the next Clark Harris, the next Ivan Toney, who's going to come to League One, and then he's going to have a really good season, and then you've got to sell him again because he's banged in loads of goals and you haven't got promoted again. So you've got to find a way, and this is what the best clubs do, this is what Brentford did and a couple of other teams, Ipswich, you've got to find a way of marrying up or building a team and being successful on the pitch. We don't want to do what Peter did, do it, because they are stuck in League One at the minute. We can all say off the pitch it's successful, but they're still stuck in League One.
Yeah, I mean, I do get what you're saying, but like Mike Carnell said, and like you said, Matt, as well, like Ipswich, yeah, they had a few seasons stuck in League One, built an incredible team, built on that, and now they're gunning for automatic promotion to Premier League. Now, I'm not saying we're going to do that, because that's nigh on impossible, but yeah, at least we could build a decent team to be a bit more competitive in the Championship. We sort of had that last season, but we had to change managers very, very quickly.
I don't think Ipswich did do that, Danny. What Ipswich did were employed a decent manager, then went straight up.
Basically, yeah. He had a couple of months in the season before, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bit like Liam Richardson. A couple of months this season, bang, we're away. We'll see. But listen, we need to go up next season. I don't know how many seasons. I'm a lot older than you. Like, I don't know how many seasons I've got left. We need this Premier League pipe dream to come true.
Didn't
Sheffield Wednesday 100%. Have a Premier League pipe dream with the 10-year season ticket as well?
Well, they're still going, I think you can still get them, can't you?
Good grief.
Listen, Sheffield United's responsibility that now, not ours.
Where are we? The comment I was going to look for. Nathan Coventry, not wrong with being a yo-yo club. How did it become such a negative?
All right, agreed.
People do look down on Yo-Yo clubs, though. People look down on Norwich for a lot of
you know why? Because they're boring. Their seasons are boring. Right. They've got no fun. There's no entertainment. There's no jeopardy. There's nothing.
This season's been really boring, though.
Yeah. Well, all right. We've prayed for a decent, a boring season for a long time. Yeah, I prefer it to be boring in this division, if I'm honest with you, than the one below. So,
yeah,
we're going for promotion next season, 100%. And I'm sure that clearly that's what the club will be going for. And that's what Liam Richardson will be aiming at. So, but we haven't finished this season yet, you know.
Oh, I think it's back down to earth, why don't you? Bloody hell. We've got an hour and 10 minutes out. I know we didn't talk about the Sheffield, the Swansea game too much. Anyway, anything else we need to mention? Because we've covered.
I think one of the most important things to mention from yesterday for anybody who's is the commentary and the fact that Swansea have a player playing for him whose name's Ron, who's apparently called Ronald.
He's called Ronald, yeah.
He's not called Ronald, is he? He's called Ronald.
He's even spelled Ronald. I noticed that as well. It's like, Ronald's on the ball. It's like, what?
It's spelled Ronald, but we're going to pronounce it Ronald. My name's spelled Mick. I'm going to pronounce it Colin. Ridiculous.
Matt Miller says, no mention the referee tonight. What's going on? I'll say this again. We are a very, very easy team to referee at the minute. A very, very easy team to referee. And I don't think I think he had a quiet game, which is all we kind of asked for. I'm not convinced some of the yellow cards were correct, but that's kind of neither here nor there. Anything to add on, Mr. Doughty? He's got his beard. Have you seen him grow a beard?
Yeah, he's got a beard.
Yeah, what's all that about? Looks like a grown-up now.
Yeah. What I would say is, I mean, I know we've gone on for an hour and nine, not Rotherham United related. I know I noticed on social media that Huddersfield Town are absolutely apoplectic about the penalty that was awarded against them at Bristol City yesterday.
You were going to say it's a penalty?
Say again?
You were going to tell me it's a penalty?
Oh, it's not a penalty, not in a million years. Not in a million years, it's not a penalty, but the conspiracy theories that are going around. It's mad, and so you know it's not just us that complain vociferously about poor decisions, but tough job.
We talked about it today, didn't we? That thankfully that decision on Wednesday didn't matter. That one absolutely. That could send them down. That could be one of the decisions. That's 2 points that they've lost. Then that could send them down. And she's guessed. She's guessed that. You look at the angle from where she's got. She's guessed at that.
Yeah, you think so, wouldn't you? But
then she to defend her, we had her against Hull, and she was one of the best refs we had this season.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't go into the category of she's a terrible referee. I just think she's had a bad, maybe a very, very bad
situation. But you know,
so don't give her any stick, idiots.
Leave that to me.
Martin Holland wants to say hello to his son Noah, who's watching.
Hi, hello, Noah. Hello. Up the Millers. Noah, you're doing the right thing. Do not follow what your dad says when it comes to football.
Correct. last call. Anything else?
No, mate.
Nope.
Perfect. I don't know. We're getting more out of these episodes than we were if these games mattered, it feels like, at the minute.
Well, it's like Howard Webb and a few of the fans have said, it's like therapy. And sometimes therapy goes on because you just talk about nonsense for the rest of it.
We're talking about a lot of nonsense tonight.
Yeah, we rip the plaster off talking about another loss, and then suddenly we'll talk about everything else and just have a chat for a bit.
Basically. If you are watching, please make sure you've subscribed on YouTube. I think we're three away from 1,400. We're asked to tick that off before the end of the season. I think we've almost got a couple hundred people watching. So if you're watching on X, make sure you follow us on there. If you are on Facebook, some on Facebook, make sure you follow us on there as well. Get over, if you're watching on Facebook and X or Facebook, go over to YouTube and please do subscribe on there. We shall be back on Thursday evening, which will be a preview of the Birmingham game. We'll try and get an hour out of preview. I've got a few fan questions, actually. I will check in the podcast emails. And you know, we did the mailbag episode a few weeks ago. Mark, I like this. For some reason, the emails from Mark Gamble's went into the spam. We'll go through Mark Gamble's questions that he sent us for the mailbag episode. I'll kill a bit of time. So thank you, Mark, for those. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, again, make sure you've subscribed and give us a 5-star rating, wherever that may be. Mick, thank you for being with us tonight. It's been an hour and 12 minutes of fun.
Yes, exactly that. If that's what you consider fun. Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's been far more entertaining than watching that game yesterday.
Oh, God, and it just. Yeah. And Danny, again, it's been a pleasure, mate. It's been good fun.
Yeah, always a pleasure. And if I'm not a proper football fan for not wanting Rotherham promoted next season, I'll go and watch ice hockey instead.
Oh, I've got a penis on it. Big fan of it.
That's a proper night.
Thank you, everyone, for being with us. We will see you next time. And as always, up the Millers.
Up the Millers.
It's a Wales through a goal. Slossy beyond Fodringer. And the Millers are in front in the South Yorkshire Derby. Oh. And for the first time in 42 years, Rotherham United win at Bramall Lane. And on the edge of the box, Duffy. He can hit them. And he does. Oh! Have secured their championship status for next season.
Do me a favour, drop me off in Rotherham.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.